This is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg.
Again, if you're just locking in, I mean, today's the start of the football season, right? We start. So let's run through the schedule quickly. We're on from 8:55 till 11. Then it's Barton Hahn from 11 to 1. Then it's Greeny from 1 to 2. Kellerman from 2 to 3. And then the K-Show takes you from 2:55 right up till 7. And then it's either the Islanders or it's Carlin or it's the NBA. And then Larry Hardesty follows that. And then you go back to the morning and it's Gordon Damer at 5 o'clock. So there's the schedule for you. 800-919-3776. Guys, we start the NFL today. We know that. We'll get into that a little bit more later on. But last night, Chris, a huge win, really. A huge win for your Yankees, and I got to tell you, in three outings so far, I could not be more impressed. I really like what Davey Garcia brings to the table.
Yeah, he had a great night, Dave. I mean, he gives you seven strong, two-run ball. I mean, I thought that he was phenomenal. He made the one mistake to Fisher in the second, but, I mean, you talk about him bouncing back. He was able to navigate out of that inning and then follows that up in the third with three strikeouts. And then he's able to get a big strikeout on Grichuk in the fifth inning to strand the runner at third, and then he has a 1-2-3 sixth and seventh. So I thought he did a really good job, and you know it would have been easy for him to get rattled early with that mistake to Fisher. But I mean, listen, the kid found a way to bounce back. He's resilient and he steadied himself, and he had a great night. And I mean, last night's game is exactly how you would want to script it if you're Yankees. Your starter gives you seven innings, then you can turn it over to Britton in the eighth. He has a clean inning, and Chapman in the ninth, who strikes out the side. That's exactly what you're looking for. And then you actually got some run support from the lineup, which was led by Gleyber Torres and DJ LeMahieu. So last night was a great win, a great way to end the five-game slide. And now you're hoping that they can carry some momentum into that four-game set with the O's.
And we talked about it yesterday, didn't we? I mean, of the guys, you know, of the guys in that lineup, I mean, Gleyber Torres being the one capable of carrying the lineup, he did it last night.
He must have hit that ball into the highway last night.
Yeah, he was great. I mean, but that's what you need from him. I mean, Hap gave you a really good outing the night before, but you couldn't score
but
any
you
runs.
Score runs, right?
So I mean, in the fact that like Chris mentioned, I mean, a 21-year-old kid, you know, knowing going into this game how important it was going to be to, I mean, to respond the way he did, seven innings, to be as efficient as he was. I mean, that's a testament to this kid. And if you're a Yankees fan, I mean, as miserable as you've been because this team hasn't been good over the last 20 games. You got to be excited about Davey Garcia. You have to be.
Yeah, he looks terrific. You know who I said he reminds me of? And I'm not saying this guy. I'm just saying like there's pieces of
Pedro?
Garcia that Pedro.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what they I think that's what they call him, little Pedro.
He looks I mean he's not that and his arm is not that explosive, but he does. I mean, he's diminutive and he's got filthy stuff and he's got a great changeup. He's going to be good. You can tell three starts in, he's got really really good stuff.
Well, you understand why Brian Cashman wasn't willing to trade him. I mean, everyone's screaming that the Yankees need to make a move. Who do you think that these teams are asking for? You want Lance Lynn. Who do you think the Rangers are asking for?
David of course.
Garcia, Clark Schmidt.
Yeah, I'll keep those guys. I've already seen Lance Lynn with the Yankees. The kid's 21 years old. And forget his stuff. Dude, we've seen guys that are established major league pitchers that have had a track record of success that don't look nearly as comfortable as this kid looks at 21 years old.
You're right.
It's a great point.
Like, you can't teach that kind of confidence, man. That's
You're
a
right.
huge moment. In his third start, that is a huge moment.
It's a huge.
Night.
I mean, you could say that's the turning point of the season for the Yankees. And I don't think that's hyperbole. I mean, really, that's a huge game last night. And he could, and Chris, you're right. He could have, I mean, they have a 1-0 lead, and then you allow the 2-run, and that was a bomb of a home run. Now you're down 2-1, and the way this thing has played out, that could have spiraled out of control last night, and he was so good. And then they tie the game on the LeMahieu home run, and then they take the lead, and he just continued to keep his focus and pitch beautifully last night. A monster start from him.
And, Dave, it looked like he got better as the game went on.
He did.
Was that just me? I mean,
it felt like
he got more comfortable as the game went on. So, I mean, that's one of the things that you want to look for. Like, it just didn't feel like he got wore down. It felt like he was able to navigate his way through the lineup. And you would think after a lineup sees you a couple of times that they would be able to get a beat on you. But that wasn't the case at all last night. So, I mean, you feel good about him. And we've been talking about it all along. Somebody has to be a part of giving this team a spark so they can get it turned around. And I think Davey Garcia and Gleyber Torres delivered that last night, which sets you up for a big start from Gerrit Cole starting off this series with Baltimore. Like, I mean, the fact that you guys took care of business against the O's last night, we got a 1.5 game cushion over them for the last wild card spot. But, I mean, you can really put that team in your rearview mirror with this set you got coming up.
Yeah, I mean, that was the only positive thing.
I fully expect the Yankees to do that.
Yeah, but I mean, I said this the other day too. That was the only positive thing. I mean, it was hot as, I mean, how do you spin 5 and 15 in your last 20? It's not easy to spin positively. But you know, I mean, the one positive thing was the team that you're chasing and the teams that are chasing you. They're in front of you. Like, those are the teams that you play to finish off your season.
Yep.
You control your own destiny. And by the way, can we all agree at the moment that DJ LeMahieu's the best everyday player in New York?
He's great.
He's got him stealing bases now?
He's terrific. And he goes the other way, and he hits for average, and he hits for power, and he's terrific. Like, you just put him in the lineup, and you know what you're going to get from him. Like every night, he's solid. He's a terrific player.
Yeah, I understand analytics and everything else, and you know, home runs and slugging percentage and on-base percentage and all those different launch angle and everything else. Dude, I'll tell you what. You give me a lineup full of DJ LeMahieu's, I think I can find a way to win.
Well, you'd win all your games. He is the definition of a professional hitter. Right?
Forget professional hitter. He's a professional. He's a professional baseball. He is my definition of a baseball player. Position versatility. He's already won a gold glove at second base. He can play first base. He can play third base. I mean, the production at leadoff. We're not just getting on base, the amount of runs he drove in last year. I mean, the fact that he stole a base for you last night. He can do everything. He does everything. Love that guy.
He's great. He's great.
I don't even like the Yankees. Really, I love that guy.
Now, you mentioned Gerrit Cole. He has not been good of late. You need, and I know you say, well, he was great for five innings. You're not paying him this kind of money to give you five great innings and fall apart in the sixth. You need, you know, go out there tonight, score runs, and Gerrit Cole, seven innings of one run ball. That's what you need. You need dominant pitching from him. That's what you signed him to do. This is the game he has to go and do it.
No question about it, Dave. And context matters. So you can't have the kid, Davey Garcia, go out there and give you seven innings of two-run ball and follow that up with a clunker from the guy that's getting paid $324 million. Like, you just can't do that. Like, Gerrit Cole is supposed to anchor the staff. If you can't depend on him, then this team is going to be in a world of hurt. If you don't have vintage Gerrit Cole, then the Yankees aren't going to make a run this year. It's just not going to happen. So, yeah, this is the start that you need to feel great about him getting things tuned up and ready for the postseason.
Yeah, it's an important game for him. I mean, it really is. Every time he gets the ball, it feels like if you're a Yankees fan, this is a game that you have to win. I feel the same way with DeGrom in the Mets.
Yeah, but now for him more so than at any other point, because he's had two so-so outings back-to-back. You know what I mean?
No, I don't disagree with you. I mean, there are high expectations. I mean, when you've been as successful as he's been, and you signed the kind of contract that he signed, everyone expected him to be that last finishing piece.
Yeah,
it comes with the territory, and I think he realizes that.
I'm sure he does, but you know, it's two starts that were subpar, and tonight's a big game, and you need to win it, and you need to go out, and you need to be great. I mean, that's the expectation. You say DeGrom, but DeGrom does it. Right? I mean, DeGrom, again, has given you one of those seasons, and Cole has not lived up to what we expected from him this season.
I mean, but again, I'm not going to sit here and make excuses, because I don't think that, you know, Gerrit Cole would sit and make excuses. But, I mean, there are plenty of really good baseball players, pitchers and everyday players, that with the circumstances and everything else haven't been at their best.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's a new team, signs for all this money, you know, has a new baby. Like, there are a lot of things that go into it. You're not a machine. I mean, there are some reasons
You're not wrong, but all I hear from the Yankees fan is, I don't even want to hear about, you know, winning a division. It's about championships. Like, the expectation from this fan base is not, well, he's got a new baby and it's a new deal. And it's
you're right. But what you just said is the truth. When the Yankees, I mean, when they get off to the 16-6 start and you felt like they were going to, you know, walk their way into the postseason, it was less about the regular season and he'll earn his money in the postseason. Now, because there's a question as to whether or not they're going to make the postseason, it's only ramped up the amount of pressure on Gerrit Cole. Because normally, that's how a spoiled Yankees fan, would judge Gerrit Cole. I don't care that he won the Cy Young. If he struggles in the postseason, that's what we're paying him for.
Mm-hmm.
But now it's different, because they got to get into the postseason now. So, I mean, it's just ramped up how important his performance in the regular season is now.
If they win this series against Baltimore, I mean, they're getting into the postseason.
Yes.
Yeah, yes. To me, it's that simple. They take care of their business this week. They win at least 3 out of 4. Then there's. I just think it's virtually impossible for them to not make.
See,
the
why
postseason.
Would you say? Why would you say that?
Because he's right.
But you don't say it. You can't say that, can you?
He's a Yankees fan. He can say whatever they want.
Yeah, but you liked that he said it. You would never say that.
Well, I wouldn't say it because I don't root for a team like that. If I rooted for a team that you know, being 500, 40 games into the season was the greatest tragedy we've had in the last 20 years, I might say something like that.
Here's the other benefit for the Yankees, too. I mean, so it's all in front of you. You got Cole Aiken tonight.
Yep.
Baltimore then goes home and plays Atlanta. Then they got Tampa.
They got Toronto. Oh, Tampa, that's right.
Then they got Tampa for five. Then they get Boston in Boston for three. And then they finish off with another team that right now is in front of you with three against Toronto.
Yeah.
So that's also to your benefit because one of those teams is going
to
lose those games.
I can't believe we're talking about the magnitude of the Yankees-Orioles series.
Yeah, but didn't we say that before the season started that it would be a wacky season where teams that you don't expect to be good would be good?
It really is. It really
Baltimore can hit, man. Say what you want. Baltimore can hit.
You're right. Mountcastle's a good player, huh?
I love that name, too.
DJ Stewart keeps hitting home runs.
That sounds like a sex.
He just keeps hitting home runs.
That's your fault. You guys got him going. That's all your fault. Mountcastle sounds like a sex position, doesn't it?
What am I supposed to do, Chris? I just walk right past it?
Yeah, you just keep going. Just keep going. Act like you didn't even say it. Yeah.
29 runs from the Braves last night, huh?
I'm going to try the Mountcastle.
Well, Dave Gettleman thought it was funny.
I got three more weeks. I'm going to try that.
You know what I'm going to do? Chris, this is my new tactic. Tell me if you like this. When he does that, I'm just going to go right into a read.
There you go. I like it.
If there's a game, someone's betting on it. Stream Better Days, a new Mike Greenberg-hosted series about epic sports betting stories told by the bettors themselves. Stream new episodes every week only on ESPN+. Mets. That's a nice win last night. Now, I know we joke about them, but you're falling apart, really, is what's happening. You're down 5-1. You come back to win that game 7-6. Bullpen was pretty good, like we talked about earlier. I understand it's baby steps, but if you want to hang on and compete for that last playoff spot, Rick, that's a game you had to have last night.
You had to have it. You didn't. I mean, that was... I mean, they did the little things last night that you need to win games. I mean, defense was great. Conforto's catch was ridiculous. McNeil made a great catch. Guillerme, I mean, his play with Diaz on the mound. I mean, God forbid he doesn't make that play.
That's a great play. A great play.
You can easily see that inning spiraling out of control. I got a little bit frustrated, I'm going to be honest. When McNeil hits that home run, you start to get fired up, and then Shreve comes in and immediately gives up a home run.
Yeah,
I'm like, oh, here we go. But, I mean, for the most part.
That was DJ Stewart, right?
Was that Stewart that hit that home run? I think that might have been Stewart that hit that home run.
Yeah.
And then the bullpen shut it down. I mean, they did. I mean, Familia, I mean, he makes it interesting, but he did the job, and so did Diaz.
Yeah. But I can deal with making it interesting. It's the, you know, four runs in the inning that's too much for me to
How does that happen, though? Like, four consecutive hits? It's just like, what are you doing? Aren't
this
you a professional pitcher?
No, they stink.
I understand they stink, but they brought Rick Porcello in there to be a veteran presence in that rotation, somebody that you could rely on. He wasn't going to be great, but, I mean, if you could give you know, five innings of three-run ball, you're like, okay, we take it. You can't even do that.
Yeah, he's been a presence.
He's a present for the other team.
That's great. Him and Walker.
That's what I'm saying. Great.
He's like a present for the other team.
Ten hits? The guy gave up 10 hits?
Oh, my goodness. I had all the numbers yesterday. I told you. If his name isn't DeGrom or Lugo, I mean, the rotation is bad.
Well, next up on Friday is DeGrom, and then Lugo's on Saturday, so at least you get those two guys over the next couple days. And you'll be rooting for us this weekend, Chris.
Yeah, just a little bit.
You'll be rooting for us.
Just a little bit.
That pains him. You can hear the pain in his voice.
Take care of business against the Blue Jays. Appreciate that.
We'll try.
You can hear the pain in his voice when he says that, too.
Why can't you just outwardly root for the Mets? They're playing the Blue Jays. That's good
for
you.
But here's the thing. I'm not even – it's one of those things like, I mean, the Blue Jays, okay, if we catch them, that'd be great. But I just want to be able to hang on to one of these wild card spots at a minimum.
If the Yankees don't get into the postseason.
It's a low bar, Dave. Oh. It's a low bar. The last 21 games has been a low bar, man. What do you want me to say?
No, I'm just saying. Like, I mean, honestly, I'm not touching the money. I'm not saying anything like that. They're going to get in. Chris, don't you really believe they'll get in?
If they take care of their business this weekend, Dave, I'll feel a lot better about saying that. I mean, Rick is right, man. The O's can hit. That's not a slouch. And so you need Garrett Cole to pick it up. And he's got to get it started. You want the momentum to continue from what you did last night and what you got from Davey Garcia. Like, to me, this is the time that you want to get on a little bit of a run.
Yeah, you can't
do what the Mets feeling good about the way you're playing going into the postseason.
You can't do what the Mets do, where they get you excited and then all of a sudden they're like, oh, I got to listen to Todd Zeal talk about, oh, this could be the turning point. This is where you're going to start to see some momentum.
Mm-hmm.
and then they go and just lay an egg.
Yeah, that's the kiss of death when Todd Zeal does that, right? When he gives his zeal of approval, that's when it's all over.
Can I get some breaking news?
Oh, what please? Do you have?
Got some NBA
is
news.
Is this legitimate?
Yeah, this is legitimate.
Legitimate breaking news. All right, go ahead.
Well, I mean, I don't know how breaking it is. I don't know if you've seen it or not. It didn't happen just now, but I'm just seeing it because the show's been good, and I've been so dialed in.
All right, what is
Well, you guys realize, so the Houston Rockets series, right, how important Daniel House is to that
yes.
team?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we're trying to figure out, like, what did he do? Like, why is he under investigation? He is apparently, this is Chris Haynes reported this, under investigation for potentially allowing a female COVID-19 testing official into his room.
Goodbye.
He got them training camp eyes.
Oh, my God.
You know what I'm talking about, Rico.
Oh, yeah.
Those assistants, those volunteers, after a couple weeks in camp, start looking good to you.
Yeah, at a certain point, you're looking at the lunch lady like, hey, I don't know.
Hey, now.
That's right.
Hey, now.
Oh, my goodness.
That's amazing, man.
At least he wasn't trying to sneak somebody into the bubble, right?
I guess you imagine she's the one doing the COVID-19 testing. She must be COVID-free. I mean, maybe he's smart.
That's what I'm saying.
Can't get
sounds safe
than
to
that.
Me.
And you wonder why there's concern, Dave, and why you have to keep people in a bubble.
Oh, my God.
The people in the bubble can't control themselves.
We can't do
the
it.
The guy in Seattle got cut during training camp because he was trying to sneak somebody in. Dressed
somebody
as a team
in a
employee.
Uniform.
Oh, man.
You can't make it up.
Yeah, but this is why they need. No, this is why the athletes need Chris and I. We're going to teach you how to do the wrong thing the right way.
No, I feel the league office should have hired us, though. Like the NBA, the NFL. Somebody should hire us, and we could provide the service to the players. You know what I mean?
I mean, it just makes perfect sense.
Because if the NBA was putting together this bubble, like we could have told them, we see this problem coming. Hey, after a month, guys, we need to consider, trying to allow, some people to come into the
something.
Bubble. Yeah.
I mean, guys are going to get
a little companionship.
We're just saying.
Thirsty.
Yeah, they want the cookie. Exactly.
They want, exactly right.
That's exactly it.
That's exactly what they want.
It's
like being in the Sahara. It's like being in the Sahara Desert for a month.
And you think a big cup of water is just waiting at the
you
end.
You just start
huh?
seeing mirages. Yeah, and the mirage is the COVID-19 testing lady.
Excuse me, you?
Shawty, I'm saying. I just,
I think I could really use one of those tests.
Exactly.
Over and over.
Don't start with that thirsty stuff.
All right, guys, the Islanders are in the Stanley Cup Conference Finals. Listen, it's a read. All right. And MSG Plus has complete live coverage before and after every single game. Tomorrow night, 7:30, get ready for Game 3 against the Lightning with the team that's been with you all season long, Shannon, Butch, and AJ. They preview the matchup on Islanders Game Night. Then immediately after Game 3, tune back to MSG Plus for complete coverage, including in-depth analysis, player interviews, your team, your network, MSG Plus, your home for Islanders Stanley Cup playoff coverage before and after every game. And we will have Game 3 tomorrow night, 7:30, right here on 98.7 ESPN. Today on ESPN Daily, the Star Spangled Banner has had its place in sports for years and years. It's become a platform for a call for change by athletes. What is the future role of the national anthem in sports? That's ESPN Daily. Subscribe now wherever you get your podcast. Now, Rick, you haven't done CMT in a while. Are you worried that you might be a little bit rusty here?
No, I've been good. I've been doing it with the kids.
Oh, really? So you just sit around?
No, I don't sit around. Like, I'll say dinner. You want, hot dog, hamburger,
cheese,
grilled
right.
chicken.
Nice.
Cuddle, marry, trash.
Right. And they play the game. Do you have the music
play
behind
the game.
It when you play?
I'll have Cassie do a little something.
Nice. Just like this. All right. The floor
Similar.
Is yours.
All right, here we go, boys. A little NFL edition of Cuddle, Marry, Trash.
Yes, yes.
So I like this game. I mean, this is we see this every year in the NFL. There's a handful of teams that made the playoffs the year before that don't end up making it the following year. And I know it's early. I'm not going to do what Dave did to Canty. Were you listening to what he did to poor Mike Tannenbaum?
I did nothing. In fact, I got such support. And I know
of
you're going to agree with him, Chris.
Of course
but
I did
nothing
I
wrong.
I
embarrass
it.
Yourself.
No,
yeah, you embarrass the show.
Please.
He's a weekly guest, and before the
it's before
week
you ask
one,
before the season. You don't ask after the season starts. Continue. I don't need this.
It's a pandemic season.
I
haven't seen any
you're
preseason.
In a miserable mood. I understand that you're going to take it out on everybody. I don't need it. It's ridiculous. Continue along.
All right, here we go. AFC. Three teams that did not make the playoffs, but could potentially make the playoffs this year. You obviously you marry the one you feel the best about, cuddle, mm-hmm. trash the one you don't. I'm going to give you the Pittsburgh Steelers. the Indianapolis Colts and the Cleveland, I'm not going to say the Browns.
I had another read ready to go.
Okay, right. Dave, I'm going to defer to you.
Okay. I feel good about this, and I know this is rapid fire, that I'm going to go right through it. I'm going to marry the Pittsburgh Steelers.
If it was socially acceptable, I wouldn't marry
them. Yeah, I'm marrying them. I think they're a good team, a really good team. I think their defense is, you know, top five in the NFL. I think that even if he's not what we've seen in the past, Big Ben is still way better than Duck Hodges and Mason Rudolph and those guys from last year. So I will confidently marry Pittsburgh. I'm going to cuddle the Indianapolis Colts.
Bombs and hellacious seeds.
I like what they've done. I like the trade. I like their offensive line. I think that if Philip Rivers, now it's a big if, but if he doesn't make the huge mistakes that he's made in the past, that's a talented football team. I think they're going to really try to run the ball a lot. Jonathan Taylor out of Wisconsin should be very good for that team. So I like Indianapolis. I will cuddle them. And not because I don't think there's promise there, because I think there is, but it's always unknown, and I never know what I'm going to get out of Cleveland, and I can't. So I don't think that they're an awful team by any stretch. But I'll trash the Cleveland.
Why? I don't understand. Why do you want to dump on Cleveland like that?
Stop, man. Why? Why do you always have to do it? Stop it.
Can't help it.
The guy's gone. He's no longer in New York. Cut him a break.
I'm just saying this. If for some reason I'm watching television and on my ticker it says Odell to miss time with pink eye. I will know why.
God. All right, go ahead, Chris.
All right, I'm going to marry the Colts, man. I'm a believer in them. I like the way that they built that team. I like the direction that they're trying to take it. I'm going to marry them. I will cuddle the Cleveland Browns.
Wow. Hellacious seeds.
Wow. I'm going to cuddle them, man. There's something about it. I just feel like Kevin Stefanski is the right guy to get it all turned around. I mean, he's the disciple of my guy that I was in with Baltimore and Gary Kubiak, and I just feel like that offense is going to fit the pieces that they have on that team, especially Nick Chubb with that offensive line. So I like the Cleveland Browns. I'm going to cuddle them, and I'm going to trash the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Wow.
I don't trust Ben Roethlisberger. I mean, coming off a major elbow surgery, he's in the twilight of his career. I don't know how much he actually has left, so I'm going to trash them.
Wow. All right, here we go. NFC.
Rick, quickly. I don't even want you to explain. Can you just give us your cuddle, marry, trash there to kind of break the tie that we have?
I would marry Indy, cuddle, Pitt, trash Cleveland.
Okay.
See, I think Pitt's going to be better. I know Canty has questions about Big Ben.
Yeah.
I actually think Pitt might win that division. Seriously.
Okay.
For some reason, I hate to even say it, just the whole, I feel like this could be the year that Lamar deals with some kind of injury. I just get that feeling for some reason.
But he's got that uncanny ability, man, to avoid big hits. Like, some guys just have that, and he has that.
No, I
like
know.
Like, Deshaun Watson and Pat Mahomes don't have it, but he has it. For a guy that runs as much as he does, he doesn't take a lot of big shots.
Listen, I know what you're saying, but there is something. Again, I'm not superstitious or anything else, but the Madden curse, we're all pretending like, oh, there's no such thing because Pat Mahomes won the Super Bowl. Pat Mahomes was a centimeter away from exploding his knee.
Yep. Yeah, I would worry about Pat Mahomes and injury more so than Lamar Jackson.
No, but Lamar Jackson was on Madden. That's what concerns me. Here we go.
Stop it.
NFC, we watch. NFC teams that didn't make the playoffs that could make the playoffs this year. Dallas, Tampa, and the Rams.
All right, you're up, Chris.
All right, so I'm going to marry the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I told you, I think they're the third best team in the NFL, so I'm going to marry them. I'm going to cuddle the Cowboys.
Bombs and hellacious seeds.
And I'm going to trash the Falcons.
Look at this garbage! Look at this garbage!
Wait, it was Falcons or Rams?
Rams.
Yeah. Rams. Trash the Rams.
All right, I concur. I'm going to marry Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
If it was socially acceptable, I wouldn't marry them.
They have so many offensive weapons and look to be a very talented football team. Dallas.
Bombs and hellacious seeds.
You got to cuddle them. They have so much talent on that team. If they don't win this division, it would be a disaster for that organization. And I will trash. And I don't think they're a bad team by any stretch, but I will trash the LA Rams.
Firmly.
There's two teams in their division that are clearly better than them, right?
Yes.
Clearly. So, I mean, yeah.
But I got to tell you, Chris, I wouldn't be shocked if the Rams were a postseason team. I think they're talented.
No, I didn't say they're not talented, but I don't trust their quarterback. I don't trust their quarterback.
Yeah, I think
as a matter of fact, I probably trust their quarterback the least of all the quarterbacks in the NFC West.
Yeah, maybe so. Maybe so. All right,
and Arizona should be better too. AFC, all right. Which team that made the playoffs will miss the playoffs this year? I'm going to give you the New England Patriots, the Buffalo Bills, and the Tennessee Titans.
Where'd I go here, huh?
So I'm marrying the one. You're going to do it, Dave. You're going to do it. Go ahead and do it.
I'm going to marry the one I think has the least chance to go to the playoffs of these three, correct?
Correct.
Oh, God, I can't do
it. You're going to do it. You're going to do it.
I won't.
You won't?
I can't. I won't. I'm going to marry the Tennessee Titans.
If it was socially acceptable, I would marry them.
I like them. But if there's a team that could take a step back after having a great season, at some point, Derrick Henry, who continues to just give you season upon season, the way he runs, you'd figure he might slow down at some point. Is Tannehill going to be that good again? Again, I like them, but of that trio, I'm going to marry them for least likely to go back to the postseason. Oh, my God. I'm gonna cut on New England.
Bombs and hellacious seeds.
I like them, but I right in the middle of this trio here. I think Cam Newton's gonna have a good season, but could I see them missing the postseason? I could. I mean, I think there are more question marks with this team this year than there have been in a lot of seasons, and they have so many guys that have opted out from playing in this crazy 2020 season. And I'll trash Buffalo. I think they're the best team in this division. I really do. I think their defense is good. They added Diggs. I like their tight end. Their offensive line should be better. They put pressure on the quarterback. They're well coached. I think Josh Allen takes that next step this year. I think they're going to win this division. I think they're a very good football team. I like Buffalo.
See, the problem with me in this question is Ryan Tannehill who we saw last year, or is he who we saw when he was with Adam Gase?
And therein lies the question.
I don't have. That's the thing. Adam Gase still continues to give me problems, even when we're not talking about the Jets. Dave, I don't want to do this, and I hope I'm proven wrong, but I'm going to marry the New England Patriots.
Wow, you did it. You actually did it.
Yeah, I think they're a fringe playoff team, but they come up just short. With all the guys that opted out this season, I don't see that defense being as good as they were last year. Even though I think their offense will be more dynamic this year because Cam Newton can be a threat to run the football as well as a passer, I just feel like it's not going to translate in the win column. So I just see them taking a step back. 8-8, 9-17, but not getting to the playoffs. So I'm going to marry the Patriots, not getting in. I'm going to cuddle the Tennessee Titans.
Bombs and
not getting in.
Seat.
I like the way that this team is built. I think they're well coached with Mike Vrabel. Adding Clowney defensively isn't going to hurt. And then offensively, that offensive line, physical style with Derrick Henry. Jack Conklin is going to be a loss, but I don't think it's going to be a loss that they can't overcome. So I'm going to cuddle them, not making the playoffs, and I'm going to trash the Bills because I think of the three teams that we're talking about, they're the most complete.
Yep. All right, we agree. Go ahead, Rick.
All right, here we go. NFC teams. I'm going to give you the Green Bay Packers, the Philadelphia Eagles, and the If I Die, I Die Minnesota Vikings.
Okay, this is easy for me. I am going to marry the Philadelphia Eagles.
If it was
not getting
socially
in.
Acceptable, I wouldn't marry them.
I'm going to marry them just because I don't know if the quarterback is going to be able to stay healthy. Carson Wentz in 4 years has only been able to play all 16 twice. So I just it's one of those things where you're waiting for the other shoe to drop. They had some injuries in the preseason. Their first round pick, Jalen Reagor, missed a significant portion of the preseason with an injury. Andre Dillard is out for the season. So I don't know, man. I feel like if this was the year that Philly took a step, this feels like the year that Philly would take a step back. So I'm going to marry them, not getting in. I'm going to cuddle Green Bay.
Bombs and
not making the playoffs. And I'm going to trash the Vikings not making the playoffs because I think that they're a true title contender.
Look, I'd love to sit here and spend 4 minutes on why I disagree, but I don't. I think Chris is right every single step of the way. So I'll just agree across the board and we can move on. I think Philadelphia is going to take a big step back this season. They're missing two guys from the offensive line. Their receivers are not great. Rieger's already hurt. Jeffrey, I don't trust. Wentz, I don't trust. So I'm going to completely agree across the board. Continue along.
All right, here we go. Last one for this NFL edition, getting us fired up for tonight's game.
Yes, fired up.
Most surprising team. Which team will have the most success this season that people aren't really talking about yet? I'm going to give you the Arizona Cardinals, the Denver Broncos, and those pesky Miami Dolphins.
See, I might have gone Denver yesterday before the news. I just think it's such, like you know that Chubb's not 100% healthy, and now you might not have Von Miller at all this season. It's that's daunting. And I like them offensively. I'm excited to see what they can do with Drew Lock and adding Melvin Gordon and Jerry Jeudy and all that, but I don't know. I worry about them on the defensive side of things. I'm gonna marry Arizona here.
If it was socially acceptable, I wouldn't marry them.
I know they're in a really daunting division, but I mean, you added a dynamic receiver. You trust this offensive mind in Cliff Kingsbury, and you have a quarterback that's entering year two, and Kenyon Drake proved to be one of the better running backs down the stretch last season. So I'm going to marry Arizona. I'm going to cuddle Denver.
Bombs and hellacious seeds.
And although I like what Miami's doing and the direction they're headed in, I don't think we're there yet, so I will trash the Dolphins.
Very interesting, Dave Rothenberg. Very interesting. One man's trash is another man's treasure. I'm actually going to marry the Miami Dolphins.
If it was
just because of the three teams that we're talking about, they're in the least daunting division. I think it's Buffalo, and then, you know, you can kind of, you know, you have to find your way in terms of who's going to be the second best team. Although I think it's New England, it wouldn't surprise me if it ends up being Miami. So I'm going to marry them. I'm going to cuddle the Arizona Cardinals
Bombs
for all of the reasons that Dave Rothenberg said. But again, with Seattle in that division and the 49ers in that division, I just don't see Arizona finishing better than third. And then I'm going to trash the Denver Broncos. I mean, Von Miller is a huge loss. We don't know where Brad Chubb is in terms of the rehab process. I mean, when you don't have those guys as a part of that defense, and defense is probably going to be what was the identity of that team in 2020, I just think it's going to be tough. So I'm going to trash them.
All right, there you go, boys. That is Thursday NFL edition of Cuddle, Marry, Trash.
You didn't skip a beat. I mean, you're right. The macaroni and cheese hamburger hot dog that you were doing at home has kept you in full practice.
Yeah, he was ready to go.
You did a beautiful job.
He was ready to go.
Yeah, you did a
beautiful job. Me, not so much, but Rick, that was prime CMT right there.
Well,
I will say this too,
NFL season.
Dave, I will say this too. I mean, you mentioned it earlier in the show when you asked the question, CMT or Frenzy. I got to be honest with you. Like, I'm really looking forward to tomorrow's Frenzy.
Well, tomorrow's
Frenzy.
I miss it. You will not miss it for much longer, because tomorrow in the 10 o'clock hour, you're going to have a Frenzy. RJ Bell is also back with us. I've just learned that wonderful news, and we're going to recap the game from tonight. Football is back. Now streaming Disney's new movie Mulan. Experience the legend of Mulan as she fights to defend her family and the kingdom. Available to Disney Plus subscribers who unlock premier access. I want to remind you, you can listen to us anywhere. Click Listen Live at ESPNNewYork.com. Find 98.7 ESPN on the ESPN app or the TuneIn app. Or simply tell your smart speaker, play 98.7 ESPN at 98.7 ESPN New York. We go where you go. All right, good news for you, Rick. The Jets have signed Alec Ogletree heading into the season. So hopefully that works out well for you guys.
Nice,
and you say
Dave.
I'm a bad
way
guy.
Way to troll him back, Dave. Nice.
Wait, you've taken like 50 shots today. I take one, and I'm the bad guy?
Yeah, but you know why. I'm lashing out right now. You know why.
Yeah, because the Islanders blew it last night.
Well, have respect. I mean, social respect.
He started the show taking shots. Don't let him say that.
That's a good point. You took shots at Santiago the entire beginning of the show.
You know what? He deserves it. This little Cowboys sweatshirt that he wears. Listen, we don't have time to get into this. Let's continue along. Last night, honestly, one of the great games you'll see. I mean, Boston-Toronto was a sensational game. And unless you're rooting for Boston in the series and have like a real rooting interest, I would think that everyone was rooting for Toronto to win that game to force a game seven. That was a great game, Rick. It was just great. Lowry was great, and it was really fun to watch.
No, it was an unbelievable game. I mean, in this, again, to go from where we were at in game three, where they were half a second away from this series, I mean, just it was over. I mean, the Celtics go up 3-0 to now being forced into a game seven. I mean, what Kyle Lowry, you can just see him after the game too. He was gassed. He played 53 minutes. How good he, and then, you know, Norm of the North, Powell, showing up late last night.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what did he have, 10 points in that second overtime?
Yeah.
He was terrific.
He was awesome.
He was great in both overtimes. I thought Norm Powell was the difference in that first overtime. I mean, when Kemba Walker hit that pull-up J and the Celtics went up by three, I mean, it was Norm Powell that came back and hit that three-pointer to tie the game up again. And it felt like every single time the Celtics were trying to take control in overtime and double overtime, it was Norm Powell showing up to be the difference in that game. You got to give the Raptors credit, man. That's championship medal, man. Not going away, finding a way to keep clawing, scratching, and scraping to be in that game at the end. And they were able to make the plays, man. So you give all credit to them for being able to get that
tons of credit. I mean, to listen, it's fair to say the a top three player in the world in Kawhi Leonard, to lose that off your team and come back and be game seven to go to the Eastern Conference Finals, that's a terrific organization.
Well, and yeah, but on top of that, too, I mean, Siakam hasn't been great either. I mean, he is not. I mean, in this series, offensively, Siakam hasn't been great.
He has not.
So to be able to do what they've been doing. I mean, and Nick Nurse helping out, too. He was standing in the corner for a reason, too.
Yeah, well, they're passing the ball to him.
That was smart by him.
Yeah, I guess any little advantage you can get, right?
No, that's what you got to do in those situations, right?
I love it.
But that's, you can see how bad Kyle Lowry wants to win, though, man. I mean, he was chirping at Nick Nurse a little bit last night. Like, them two going
pissed
back and forth.
When he called that timeout?
Yeah, he was hot.
Pissed.
He was hot.
Wasn't happy about it. All right, under a minute to go. Let's go. Where are you going tonight, Rick? You going Kansas City by how many? They covering this number?
Kansas City covering this number tonight?
I think it's 9.5.
It looks like he might have no Cooks. Yeah, I'll have Kansas City cover the number tonight.
I think it's closer than the experts think. I think it's closer than that 9. Give me Kansas City by a touchdown.
Kansas City by a touchdown. I think this is a double-digit game. It's the start of the NFL season. I mean, we're going to come back tomorrow. We got RJ Bell. We got a football Friday. We'll give you our picks. We'll go through all the games. We've got the frenzy. We've got everything. We've made it. We've made it from March, pandemic, COVID, not leaving the house, craziness, no sports. Tonight, 8 o'clock, the start of the NFL season. We'll break it all down for you guys tomorrow. For now, it's Rule 76.
No excuses, play like a champion. It's DPHO, Canty, and Rothenberg, and...
everybody.
On 98.7.
DCR is DPHO, Canty, and Rothenberg. Catch them weekday mornings at 9 on 98.7 ESPN.